and a lot of homosexual spirit in here, Michael.
I see no women here. You're chanting about a male organ. Tell me who the fruity booty is.
That was an amazing...
People of Ireland, there may have been a far letter word.
I fucking love Eamon Dunphy, he's the best.
Costa Rica, number one on the World Happiness Index.
Hello and welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling video podcast. Filmed in glorious grapple vision and encoded with blast processing, we chronologically critique wrestling storylines pay-per-view by pay-per-view. This is your host, Jay Hunter, joined as ever with Mr. OSC.
Maybe.
And V1.
All right.
It's OSW Sing the Christmas Classics. It's Capital Carnage 98, and it's coming up right now.
A singular part.
Oh.
What's the crack, lads? How's it going?
Alright.
That's the story.
So, you might be wondering why we're reviewing Capital Carnage 98. Well, Ultra Bra, Paul Stevens got an OSW review tattoo. What'd you think of that?
Awesome.
Awesome. A bit mental. Very, very brave.
Having said that, it's not like he's got no tattoos and went out and got. He clearly has quite a few.
Yeah.
But it's still awesome.
It's really awesome. Fair balls to you, mate. Yeah.
It's amazing. It was a milestone. I didn't even know it was a milestone. I didn't think he'd ever hit it, but I was like, holy shit!
Yeah. Excellent.
And the suggestion was we all get Paul Stevens tattoos. I think it's only right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No. It's so incredible seeing it. I was like, oh shit, we can't quit the show now. That's it. We're locked in. And we can't become shit either. So after seeing that, this is the least we could do. Actually, nothing is the least we could do. But we'll do you one better and we let him choose any pay-per-view as our next review is. Thanks.
Then he picked the one you didn't want to do more than anything. Genius.
Well, I think Survivor Series 97. I'll be clear, I'm not endorsing getting OSW review tattoos. But if you do get one, we'll review any show you want.
And that's wrestling or otherwise?
Yeah.
Anything.
2.5
Except
men.
China porn.
Because, oh my god. We should actually do it. It'd be audio only, I'm not cutting video to that review. Why Capital Carnage? Paul tells us it's his very first WWF pay-per-view he attended. Let's do it to it. Grammar, that is. Both WWF and WCW were doing mega business at the time. This is this period until April 99 is the hottest wrestling has ever been and ever will be. No hyperbole, look it up. WWF exploded. WWF exploded with Mike Tyson endorsing Steve Austin being crowned WWF champion at WrestleMania 14 in March. Austin and Taker headlined SummerSlam at the big Highway to Hell matchup, and Rock heel turned and became the corporate champion at Survivor Series, aligning himself with Mr. McMahon, usurping Mankind's spot, who turned face in the process. WWF were on a roll making new main eventers. Rock, Austin, Kane, and Mick Foley had only started being proper main eventers within the last year, and add Triple H next year. Good times.
want you to know, they made me wear underwear.
What? Who did?
Who are they?
Were we paying for any pay-per-views at this point, or did that not happen till after this?
Oh, it was all on Sky Sports, so these were the first box office.
Why did Sky Sports drop the pay-per-views?
They were pissed off over Trailer Park Titties, Miss Kitty flashed a bare breast on TV, Armageddon 99 pay-per-view, and that was right when they were renewing their deal.
So they decided to drop four pay-per-views, one of them being Royal Rumble, which is a big money spinner?
Ridiculous, yeah.
Strange.
Yeah.
Great for us, though.
Although, I do remember watching it on Channel 4 and wishing that it wasn't, because they had ads.
Because you already paid for Sky Sports.
It's free. Come on, lads.
Yeah,
we're already buying.
I think it wasn't.
No. I already had Sky Sports for the Premiership, so I was like, I have to watch ads. And they bloody cut out, like, Rock's promo and stuff like that. I was like, how dare you.
God damn it. Jesus Christ, Channel 4.
And Channel 4 always came in hazy for me as well.
Really?
State of the visual quality. This pay-per-view takes place a week before WWF's next US pay-per-view, Rock Bottom. So it's mostly a filler gap between Survivor Series and Rock Bottom. And that takes us to December 6th, Capital Carnage 98.
It is Capital in the London Arena. Carnage, fatal matchup. Four-way Undertaker, Kane, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and Mankind. The Big Boss Man is the special guest referee for Capital Carnage.
Kick off with a late 90s WWF video package cutting audio snippets of the main eventers saying, Fatal, Four, Way, Capital, Carnage. Like they were using their words without their permission.
Nice.
It's Capital Carnage 98, December 6th, to be exact. WWF's fourth pay-per-view in England, coming after SummerSlam 92, One Night Only in 97, and Mayhem in Manchester earlier that year in April. 10,441 Barmies in attendance, paying an average of under $40 per ticket, which is about £24.5 at the time. Do you guys order this pay-per-view?
No.
Nope.
Yep. Didn't let me order SummerSlam 92. Not getting this Capital Carnage. Get the boat. Commentators are, fuck yeah! It's good old JR and Jerry the King Lawler, with Tony Chimmel as ring announcer and later Michael Cole as a reporter slash interviewer.
JR's face looked actually pretty bad. I don't know if he'd only recently had his Bell's palsy attack or not, but his face looked really bad.
It's very impressive, Steve. Just as he landed in England, he found out that his mom had died, and so that he suffered a flare-up of his Bell's palsy.
Oh, shit!
Did you notice anything different about his commentary?
No. At points during the show, I thought JR was incredible. So, no.
I thought it was fine. Yeah. Notice.
But if one's mother dies, you fly back immediately.
Yeah.
You go home right fucking now.
Bear in mind that
Michael Cole's there as well. He'll do the show.
Yeah.
On the plus side, it's needless to say,
you had the last laugh.
Wrestling is crazy hot in 98. The UK fans are pretty starved of wrestling at this point. They're just go mental for anything. I mean, like, these days we have house shows, it seems to be on a monthly basis over in UK and Ireland. You know, because like, the only current wrestling I watch is Experience.
It's hardcore.
You are a hardcore fan.
I am, yes, I
Holy
am.
Holy shit.
I watch Experience, and not only do I watch Experience, I watch maybe 10 minutes of it, and I'm done, and I'm happy. Because then I can talk to Steve and Jay about wrestling now. And most of Experience is ads, is either Don't Try This at Home, or it's ads for upcoming house shows. You know, UK.
Yeah.
It's torture. Which is why I have to tape it and wind on through
it. Our inaugural contest is Gangrel versus Al Snow. We must be in the Attitude Era. Some mid-card with an awesome gimmick, entrance, and a kick-ass song.
Gangrel song, possibly one of my favourites ever. It's great.
It's worth noting that the name Gangrel is a vampire clan name from an RPG company called White Wolf. WWE don't own it. They just leased the name for 5 years when they signed them. And it's been a bit of a legal thorn ever since.
Why? I don't understand why they can't call him, like...
Gangrel?
Yes. You know what I mean? Gangrel. Anything.
Some kind of umlaut.
Yeah.
Because if you ever watch it, like at the end of Raw, they'd have to copyright WWE or WWF, and it would be copyright White Wolf.
Fucking hell.
He's facing...
Al Snow.
Much to my chagrin, he is over. That pisses me off. He's part of the Job Squad, a band of merry jobbers who jobbed. That smacks of Russo. Al Snow's gimmick is that he has a mannequin head who talks to him, and he uses it for one joke over and over and over and over again. A double entendre for a blowjob. A fucking genius.
It did get over.
Mm. The two start with a minute or two of running the rope sequences, but Gangrel barely ducks under Snow's leapfrog and almost headbutts his balls. Steve, what have you got?
First thing I have is fucking Brits with their air horns. Shut the fuck up. Although at least it's not vuvuzelas. Remember that ruined a World Cup. That's not bad, Jay. Very, very nice wheelbarrow suplex by Al Snow. Lots of punch, kicks, clotheslines. Not much actual moves took place in this match. Most of it was punches and kicks, like I said. Yes, Gangrel is 29 years old at this point.
Can't be right.
He's the oldest man in the world since Arjen Robben. The guy is like, he looked old back at Chelsea in like 2008, like, you know what I mean?
By the way, really, I quite liked JR occasionally mentioning the ages of the wrestlers. It really made it feel like it was a young company. That was quite good.
Yeah.
Chatting about Gangrel's teeth, JR drops an Austin Powers reference.
Have you seen the teeth on Gangrel?
He's got some molars, all right.
It's an orthodontist dream. Ooh!
Looks like Austin Powers before the... before the surgery.
Is that just because they were in England?
And Snow hit a lovely bridge suplex pin. And Poofy Shirt Man hits a nice double arm suplex as well.
Poofy Shirt Man.
While Christian causes the distraction, Al gives Gangrel head. But Edge gives him a top rope drop kick. It secures Gangrel's victory in 551.
Right, you know the way there were thousands of those heads out in the crowd? Were those people stupid enough to buy them, or is it you get there and there's a head under your seat?
There wasn't enough for there to be heads under the seat. No way.
Right.
So
they bought them?
Yeah.
My God.
Because in ECW, they give them out for free, because that's how Paul Heyman is like.
Because that's how you make fucking money, Paul, isn't it?
No one's... It came out of Tommy Dreamer's paycheck. what do you think of the match?
I didn't really. It was a nothing match.
Yeah, same old, same old. Attitude Era stuff.
I concur. So Attitude Era. What do you think about that? We're covering an Attitude Era.
Oh yeah, show. What I will say is that most of the matches are like Gangrel versus Al Snow. Not much to say. Kind of very formulaic. Kick punch, few moves, bit of interference, and it's over.
Although it is crazy over. Like, the crowd are just mental for
everything.
They
love everything. Yeah,
yeah. And like, listen, I enjoy watching Attitude Era. The problem is, there's not much to say.
See, I think the problem here is that the pay-per-views were not the highlight of the Attitude Era. It was the week-to-week.
And the characters
promos.
And the stories.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Yeah.
And at the pay-per-views, they were showcasing their wrestling, which wasn't great.
That is a nice
way
to say.
It's kind of weird. Yeah. It's like... Raw got to the biggest it ever was booking, like the way TNA booked to get smaller and smaller. It's like they book to their weekly show, and the pay-per-view, it's like, yeah, they win the match, but you're really going to find out what happens on Thursday. And it's like, that's what is killing that company, but it made these the biggest they've ever been. It's kind of strange just how tastes change over the years. Like,
well, that and having a plethora of like fresh main event level talent. Yeah. As well.
Young. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome stuff.
Like, because 98, that's the kind of Jerry Springer era. We've got very crew TV is huge. You know, Tom Green was huge. That kind of. So mm-hmm. just completely different era.
Yeah.
Austin Powers was fresh. Like.
Yeah.
So what does the future hold for these two? Well, Al Snow would bounce around as Mick Foley's punchline until becoming one half of the incredible tag team, Head Cheese.
With Steve Smegma.
Why was the cheese? What was Blackman got to do?
I have no idea. He had
a fucking hat, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he has no prior relationship with cheese.
He's no relation.
But they had a mascot, the Chester McCheeserton, and he ran around. Like, if his name was Steve Stilton, then
yeah. Whoa.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it, yeah.
Gangrel, he joined the New Porn Order, having a porn studio named after a wrestling reference, give you an idea how big wrestling was back then, and directed a couple of adult films.
Fair folks, though.
Metaphorically and literally.
In the boiler room, Face Mankind gives out about how freezing it is over here in England and plugs the main events. It wouldn't be a promo in England without some English references. London Tower, London Bridge, London Arena.
Tourist info ad is what this shite was. Why is he explaining this to the Brits? They fucking live there. They know all this.
It's a UK only paper.
Yeah. Here.
But 14 years later on the WWE Network, don't want to know.
They want to know about London Tower.
Have a nice day.
Next up, it's LOD 2000, Animal and Droz versus the Headbangers, Mush and Thrasher.
Have they time traveled to the past?
This is an amazing time frame. This is such a narrow band of time.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, like, I was thinking we're never going to see LOD 2000. What are the odds?
I was hoping we'd never see LOD 2000.
And of course, I don't know how we brought this up before. We just wangled it in somehow.
It was when LOD left after SummerSlam 92.
I'm talking about Chaz from the Headbangers.
I don't know how I worked it in.
you worked it in before.
Yeah, it's like the King of the Road. I just find any chance.
Oh, where is it?
Headbanger Bill.
Headbanger Bill. Mario Balotelli is a headbanger bit.
Hawk and Animal made their triumphant return to the yeah.
Sorry, I just have written here, well, it's Droz, and then next to it, damn it, D-Lo.
Oh, Steve.
It's funny.
Oh, that's amazing.
There we go. There we go.
Oh,
that's
see, Jay's
Steve.
Much crueler than you are, so he'd find that funny.
I'm clearly much slower.
So, LOD 2000. Hawk and Animal made their triumphant return to the WWF at WrestleMania 14, repackaged as LOD 2000, a tag team for the new millennium.
Alright. A tag team for the new millennium!
Complete with Sunny as their manager. She out, and Droz was paired with them instead. LOD 2000 failed to win the belts before classy WWF made a storyline out of Hawk's real-life drinking and drug abuse, peaking 3 weeks ago where Hawk tried to commit kayfabe suicide by climbing to the top of the Titantron and threatening to jump off. Droz sneakily pushed him when trying to talk him down. You see? He was like, eh.
Yeah, but then Animal looks up and notices. He looks a bit pissed off, but then he goes and tags with the guy. Is he supposed to have noticed that Droz tried to kill, literally murder, his best mate?
Maybe he's just ignorant. Okay. Or maybe it's just not well thought out.
I think that's probably the option.
Oh, Hawk and Animal gave out stank and the angle bombed, obviously, and it was dropped very, very quickly.
Just to jump in there, with Animal, it is the official return to OSW review of the roid belly.
Yeah.
It was enormous.
A real Debbie Downer of a storyline, as Droz is the new guy who nobody likes. He's headstrong and tries to take charge, fails, then complains. And everyone is annoyed but feels sorry for Hawk. So it's just shitbuzz. Mm. Shitbuzz all around. The Headbangers are newly heel and wearing Marilyn Manson tees, as was the style at the time. Weirdly, Mosh and Draws did double duty tonight, as they had a dark match before the pay-per-view, and Draws actually got the win in 6 minutes.
Oh god, Draws going 6 minutes? He was green as grass. I would have loving to see that match. That would have been awesome. Would have loved to have seen that match.
I would be loving to see that match.
Much like Hulk, the match is a sloppy mess. None of the combatants care. Expounded perfectly when Chaz gives an incredibly half-assed cover. He's just right over him. JR starts giving him stink about it. Saying it was loose. Loose cover. Do you have anything for the finish?
No.
Draws tries to switcheroo Animal in the ring, but gets schoolboyed immediately after. And he takes the pin. And loses in 3:21. Animal and Draws, schmoz, smellness, and everyone boos. And so ends the ballad of LOD 2000. This is actually the blow-off right here tonight. Meh.
Yeah.
Soon afterwards, Draws was revealed to be Hawk's enabler, slipping him drinks, and LOD was through. He'd turn heel and become 1999's version of The Miz. He'd be Draws' world, where he'd have his own faction of nobodies who shared his unique laugh style. He brought in...
Yeah, well, like, that means homosexual.
Pretty much.
He brought in body-piercing dude Prince Albert and Draws' drug dealer, Key, played by Vic Grimes. No recollection of that at all.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't, because it only lasted a few weeks and he was sent back down. And, of course, Chaz would go on to have the greatest gimmick of all time. People giving him shit over battering his wife / girlfriend. Leading to the amazing segment. The
I can't tell who it is, but somebody said it's Chaz already. Yeah, it is, yeah, it is. You're right, it's Chaz.
Nobody wants you to leave. What the hell's going on?
Man, allegations of beating his girlfriend, Mariana, has made Chaz a very un... Wait, they're only allegations, JR. I know that.
You have to show it again.
Because they never outright said he beats his wife. They're like, there's allegations that he's been beating his girlfriend. And that was it. They just, that's it.
They never gave Austin guff over that, did they? Many women that's right. He lumped around.
There you go.
But Chaz is not quite the drawing phenomenon that Stone Cold is he?
We get a video package building up Austin Taker's Buried Alive match at next Sunday's Rock Bottom pay-per-view, including Kane shoving Paul Bearer down a manhole. I was worried that Bearer wouldn't fit in that. And how would you even do that stunt?
I don't understand how it worked.
They must have had like some kind of slide or...
Oh no,
like
they had. There must have been somebody holding him and bringing him down. Because he... You know, you don't shove him in a man's hole. But like, you would drop somebody into a manhole, but like, he just kind of crawled in. It was strange. It was like gravity took a day off or something. It was really crap, but it was still a bit of fun.
And we get an Undertaker interview. Realm of Darkness, Asylum Ambulance, Hounds of Hell, I hope you're happy. Move on.
That guy's never cut a good promo in his life.
Yeah,
straight up. But say, like, this is my favourite incarnation of the Undertaker.
His entrance was so awesome.
His theme is so awesome.
Yeah, oh my god, I had to write that down. Yeah.
What's that? This Is Your Life? What the fuck?
Capital Carnage. Hello, ladies.
Next up, it's Val Venus versus Goldust. Jerry Lawler quips, Val has aligned himself with the Godfather over slappers. That's hilarious, you're hearing Americans use non-American vernacular. Like Shane and Mike could talk about pints and stuff. It's weird. Amazing sign during the entrance. Someone wrote, Hello, Leslie. What bar is Val Venus?
Well, Jay, Val Venus is wearing a lovely little purple and silver getup. So he is a Milka white chocolate bar.
Nice. Mm. Yeah.
Hello, ladies.
He says, Tower of London, up and down, crown jewels. So what is this all about? Vince Russo, that's who. Straight up attitude era, car crash Russo storyline here. Terry was Goldust's manager and valet until the Pillman angle, where Pillman won her services for 30 days, was abducted and presumably raped. Pillman died the night of Bad Blood 97 and Terry was taken off screen and the angles just dropped. Goldust became more bizarre and he got a new valet, Luna. That didn't work, so he became a preachy born-again Christian. That bombed, so he went back to being plain old Goldust. Terry came back on the scene months later as the girlfriend of Val Venus, which pissed off Goldust, even though they were now estranged. However, when she announced that, we're pregnant, Val dumped her. I was like, heel heat there.
Yeah, that is...
You're pregnant.
Haunty, isn't it? Yeah, you're pregnant.
But he contested that he'd had a vasectomy, so she was cheating on him. She unsuccessfully tried to crawl back to her husband Goldust. And yeah, that's that. None of that says why these two are fighting. Because neither want Terry, you know? And maybe it's like, maybe if you had loser gets custody, loser pays alimony.
Anyway, the basis of this promo package was to tell you that Vince Russo does not respect women. Because all of his angles in every company he's ever worked for is being like this. They're just shown in the worst possible light. Who are we meant to cheer for in this match? Who's good in this match?
I think Goldust is good.
But didn't his wife come back to him and he's like, fuck you, bitch?
Yep.
Yeah, but rightly so. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think anyone looks well in this angle.
Yeah, it's like, it's really bad. I don't understand this storyline at all. I don't know what's going on, why they're fighting, and what they're fighting for. Like, because neither of them want Terry.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they fighting?
Yep.
A lot of silence there.
Well, she's allegedly pregnant in my book, because she's certainly not showing. And if she is pregnant, then who's the daddy? Well, that's what Val and Goldust are both wondering.
Thankfully, JR actually addresses it by postulating that it must be a fake pregnancy. She's not pregnant. This is just horseshit. Like.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of pregnancy angles because obviously WWF don't use actually pregnant women in storylines. They fire them.
Dawn Marie.
Don't they?
They used her for a while when she was pregnant, right? But then they did actually fire her.
Yeah.
Just before she gave birth.
Jesus Christ.
Hey!
And. You know, WWF don't have patience for a 9-month storyline or a 6-month storyline either. So then we get the bullshit, like a bullshit ending with Mark Henry and the hand. Well, that was obviously bullshit to begin with, so that wouldn't be too bad. Actually, and obviously there's the other pregnancy angle, which was done right after this, which is when Terry teamed up with Jacqueline, called the Pretty Mean Sisters, PMS, and they got the services of D'Lo by guilt-tripping him because she said she was pregnant and, like, he pushed her inadvertently and said, oh, I've lost my baby, I have a miscarriage. You wrestle, I'll be your manager now.
I don't know.
As Terry Reynolds said, she's pregnant. She's obviously concerned about her baby. This king is tragic.
Holy shit.
Like, no one looks good in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why would you want D-Lo anyway?
Fucking right.
Because Vince Russo loves D'Lo. That's why he did so good under Vince Russo's watch.
Okay, fair enough.
And his push died right when Russo left. Instant time wasting. Match bell to brawl to the outside, your favourite. 15 seconds.
God.
Oh, we got a lovely perfect plex by Val, and after the two butt heads, Goldust's head lands on Val's other head. Goldust tries to get a crowd clap by, you know, kind of slamming the mat with his foot, and it fails. I'm full of loser. But I can't think of a wrestler trying to get the crowd to clap, and they don't.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, actually. There was three nice moves in this match. Goldust hit a nice springboard backdrop bouncing Val's legs off the ropes and then hitting a backdrop. Then Val Venus hit a kind of nice spine buster, followed by a lovely fisherman's suplex for a two. And that's pretty much it in terms of moves.
After a storyless back and forth, the crowd perk up finally for Goldust's Shattered Dreams, which is a kick to the balls in a corner straddled opponent. The ref denies him, as he should, it'd be a DQ, and in the complaining, Val gets a roll-up schoolboy victory in 5:33. And then Goldust gets his heat back immediately, getting the Shattered Dreams.
So, after the match, we're in the exact same situation we were coming into the match. See you at Rock Bottom. Do they wrestle at Rock Bottom?
No.
Fuck! Okay. Fuck you, Britain, is what this match is.
Fuck you, Britain. Yeah, that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
Subtle.
Get a vignette showing Vinnie Mac speaking at the Oxford Union, which is the debating society in Oxford University. We get a crowd shot as we see a sign saying, Kane eats, and then what looks like a coiled turd, for breakfast. I thought it's actually a rattlesnake. He eats
I was like, oh, spaghetti? Noodles? No
chance, so that's what you got. The corporation, Vince, Shane, Patterson, and Briscoe all cut heel promos at the entranceway. Patterson says, we only put this card together on the flight over, so whatever is advertised isn't happening, fuck you.
Fuck you, Britain!
I think Steve is on the right page here, actually. It's fuck you, Britain.
Yeah. Gonna take your money, and you're getting fucking nothing for it. By Rock Bottom.
The Rock, he was supposed to wrestle Hunter Hearst Hemsley tonight. It's not going to be Hunter Hearst Hemsley, because Hunter Hearst Hemsley is going to have his hands full tonight. Hunter Hearst Hemsley is going to go on one-on-one with Jeff Jarrett.
The Rock isn't wrestling Hunter Hearst Hemsley. And Hemsley's facing Jeff Jarrett.
I'm not going to lie, I kind of marked out a little bit when I heard that match was coming up. Big fan of both of these guys.
I know, yeah.
Next is Jerry Briscoe. I love how he says, McMahon.
Yeah.
Mr. McMahon here.
And Briscoe's got a surprise involving Vinnie Jones. Shane O'Mac is up next with his comedy heel shtick. He gets topical, saying George Michael's unnamed boyfriend was hard man Vinnie Jones.
Sorry. Did you like Vince standing there in the background with his cup of tea?
I loved it.
It was actually amazing. Marked, yeah.
Vince is holding a cup of tea. He heels out on tea time and Britland in general. The English are inferior to Americans. The swarmy slots in a cesspool whose next prime minister will be of Pakistani extraction.
That cesspool, in all likelihood, will be governed by a prime minister of Pakistani extraction. I thank you very much.
Woo! Winston Churchill's flipping in his grave right now.
That shouldn't be an insult. It is, but it shouldn't be.
Indians in Britain.
But that's the point he's making, that there's a lot of Pakistanis in Britain.
You think so?
Of course.
It seems like I found a PC way to be racist.
It was horrendous.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What? And yes, and.
Yeah. Ooh, we get a nice attitude error sign. Vince is gay.
Simple but effective.
What did you think of that segment?
Oh, fucking time waster. Jesus.
I hated everything until Vince talked, and then I thought it was entertaining for like a minute. And it wasn't because of what Vince said, it was just because when Vince speaks, he delivers his promos like a boss.
Well, completely unnecessary. There's 10 matches on the card. Increase maybe 3 of them by a couple of minutes. You don't need this crap.
Yeah.
Nobody's buying the pay-per-view for this.
I can tell you what else they're not buying it for. Vinny fucking Jones.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Who is this apparition? What could have happened to this man that brought him to this place? That made him do these things? That made him say these words?
Yeah, I'm under Durango, number 95. Take me to the home, take boots and a ultra.
Match number 4 is Tiger Ali Singh versus Edge. From the continent of Asia is Tiger Ali Singh. What's wrong with India? Imagine if Americans were billed as from this side of the globe. The rich foreigner, who's actually Canadian, Tiger Ali Singh, had a manservant called Babu.
Babu, you bad man. You very, very bad man.
And would pay audience members to do humiliating acts. Sound familiar? It's like the Indian Million Dollar Man.
Any jokes coming now?
I'd say he's the Million Rupee Man.
He's been about 100 quid then.
16 and a half grand. He dedicates the match to his forefathers, and Lawler hilariously quips, "He's got forefathers?" Tiger Ali Singh, he's taking on...
I do like...
I hated Edge during that time. You remember his feud with Kurt Angle and the Uso?
Yeah, I know. At least he was quiet here, you know? Kept himself to himself.
Edge enters Shield style through the crowd. I never liked Face Edge, and I hated the fact that he got a great reaction without actually doing anything. I was like, this cunt's going to be champion, isn't he? But thankfully, by the time he came champion in 2005, he was an awesome heel.
He's so great, yeah.
Edge controls the match, Singh ducks out for a breather. For the third singles match in a row, we get a top rope crossbody. Singh reverses it, and with his feet on the ropes, gets the dirty win in 2:51. And Edge immediately cleans house and gets his heat back.
Right. Damn it, D-Lo. Right. Match number 1. Gangrel gets the win after Edge hits a dropkick. Not a clean finish. Match number 2. Draws. He fights with Animal and then gets rolled up and blah, blah, blah. Another shitty, non-clean finish that doesn't put the winner over, right? The third fucking match. Clean win, but Goldust gets his heat back the second it fucking ends. And this match... Feet on the fucking ropes, and an Edge gets his heat back the second after it ends. 4 horrific finishes in a row. Fuck you, Bert.
And that's that. Matches nothing. Of course, the ultimate opportunist, Edge, would go on to win 11 World/WWE Championship titles. Singh unsuccessfully sued WWE after a career-ending injury, and these days does a lot of charity work in Canada. So good stuff. You might remember his jobber tag team with D'Lo.
Yeah, they're like these kind of paper hats, didn't they? No, crepe paper. Do you know?
Paper mache? Like?
No, crepe paper. It's a very English thing.
Okay.
I remember they had turbans and get-ups at the 2001 Royal Rumble. Do you remember when one of them was to get a spot and they get bumped for Drew Carey?
But the crepe paper, though. I'm telling you, man.
Maybe it was like stuff left over from New Year's and they put the crackers and at the crown.
Hilarious.
Ladies and gentlemen, Great Britain's own Vinnie Jones!
Michael Cole, who in 2014 is now in year 17 of working for WWE. This is a real streak right here. He introduces Vinnie Jones, a Wimbledon footballer turned actor. What do you think of Vinnie Jones?
He was an okay footballer, bit of an enforcer. He was probably better than an okay footballer. I'm probably being a bit harsh on him.
He definitely played his part.
Yeah.
You know, you could find the spot for him in a lot of teams. Like, yeah, yeah. You know?
As an actor... Gone in 60 Seconds was an enjoyable movie. He didn't. I don't think he said anything, so it was good. Then he was in like X-Men Last Stand and he did say something.
Ulrog Geezer! I'm the bloody juggernaut! You little fucking wanker! Oh, isn't he meant to be fucking Polish or something and Professor X's brother. Oh, little bloody wanker. Gonna fucking chase fuck you now.
Chase.
Fucking break through a couple of walls.
That was a horrific movie. Oh my god.
Very bad.
He's my fucking favourite character out of the X-Men universe.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah, Juggernaut. I fucking love him.
I can tell you who you don't love. Storm.
That, yeah, she's the Lisa Simpson of X-Men. Yeah.
Lisa Simpson, yeah.
She had a much smaller role and then she just complained. She Hoganed it until she got a bigger role and ruined the film.
Yeah.
Anyway, Vinnie Jones clearly meant to be a face because he's in England. I thought he came out like a complete heel. No charisma, didn't even look at the crowd, walked out in his hard man with his jacket and his fucking
chain.
Turtleneck and the chain over
chain
a turtleneck.
Outside, oh my god. He rightfully got booed by his own people.
He got
they
some
thought
booze.
He was going to be a heel.
He got
mostly
booze.
Cheers, though.
He got cheers.
You know, like, by the end of the segment, it definitely turned into cheers, but I think when he came out and he's like,
I'm prepared to mix it up. It's been emotional. I'm turning into Adam Rose with this one.
I've got one thing to say to Britain tonight. It's going to be emotional!
Match number 5 is a mixed tag affair. It's Marvelous Mark Mero and Jacqueline versus Sable and Christian? Holy slapdash tag team, Christian. Even Lawler asks, why is he in this match? I don't understand that team.
Isn't he in your vampire? Why is Sable with a vampire?
Because she sucks.
Oh, yes.
Because they paid for his airfare, silly.
Ah. What did you think of Mr. Merrill's song?
I love his song. I think it's awesome.
I like it.
What's it going?
Keep going. Nice.
Well done,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
got a
yeah.
He's not in good shape at all at this stage, is he?
You know his first song is Sable's song? Like, he used to come out.
That one, like?
Was he supposed to be kind of Goldust? I'm a diddler, like.
He did have the fucking fiddly foodly mustache though, didn't he?
But what was the, Steve, that's new generation. What was the Wildcat all about?
I think he didn't he have the little kiss. Oh, that was Johnny B. Badge. You know,
Johnny
he B.
Badge
kissy.
Made sense, you know, because he's the fucking
1950s
style rocker. Like, yeah.
Oh, Richard. Do you mean the petticoat thing?
No, he had like a little a plunger that had kisses on the end of them.
What comes out of it?
Lip shapes. It was like stickers. And then the Wildcat. Wildcat.
Wild Man, Mark Barron.
Oh, was the Wild Man.
That was actually an amazing setup, Ben Jay. Thank you very much.
I quite liked him because I believe he was decent. And I like the TKO.
TKO was a good move.
Didn't he used to do the Wild Thing, which is 450?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
No, was it just a...
No, it was a 450.
He did a 4 fucking 50?
What does it... When it's just 4... It's not...
No, he did the front.
What's Billy
front.
Kidman's?
Billy Kidman's is Shooting Star.
Yeah, so he did Shooting Star.
No, he didn't. I thought he did the forward one. Anyway, we have a look at this.
Splicey, yeah.
And if I'm wrong, I'll reverse the footage.
And if I'm wrong, I'll play the footage.
Wild Man Mark Mero played the jealous husband of Sable, always. And after a losing streak, he was repackaged into this boxer gimmick you're seeing here, Marvelous Mark Mero, highlighting his Golden Gloves accomplishment. But he still kept the losing streak, but going from Sal Sincere now to Dwayne Gill, who later became Gilbert. So his career in the WWF anyway was spent being jealous and getting Sable over. Very sad. He's tagging here with Jacqueline because she's feuding with Sable at the time.
Didn't Sable come in with Hunter Hearst Helmsley?
Mm. Mm. Very good. You know you're a new generation. Steve! What bar is Marvelous Mark Mero?
Well, Jay, this is inspired by one of your favourite wrestlers. He's wearing red and black gear. So, Mark Mero is a box of black magic.
I love it so much.
Brilliant, Steve.
Well done.
So here, a mixed tag means that the men wrestle men and the women wrestle the women, as opposed to an intergender match. Obviously, Sable, I hate her guts. She had no qualms telling people that wrestling was just a stepping stone for her to do something else. Her career, and fair fucks to her career took off when she took her clothes off. Sonny turned down the WWF Playboy shoot, and Sable took it instead.
That's a shame. I would have preferred Sonny.
Hell yeah! I've never found Sable anything great. She just looks old to me.
Always looked old. Face. Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she has rockin' body. It's just her face.
Yeah, she looks old.
And she looks like such a huge bitch.
The commentators wouldn't stop. They were like, "Oh, I've never seen a more beautiful woman." Yeah. I was like, "You've had Sonny."
Yeah.
Like, fucking Liz is prettier. You know, she's obviously not as sexy as Sable, but I just found... And she has zero charisma. Negative charisma. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and she's obviously disinterested and untalented. But she does pull in the crowds.
Sloppy as well.
Mero pulls up his jocks for a no hitting below the belt comedy spot. And then Christian pants him. And we just do that another six times. fucking house show.
I've it here. Christian pants Mero and children laugh.
It is better than making them cry. Stop Sable time. She holds her leg up for a boot. Chase Jackie around for a bit. Low blow to Mero. And then a dangerous looking Sable bomb because she's not strong or talented enough to control him.
It wasn't the worst. I expected worse from that.
That's probably one of her better ones.
I thought this was dodgy. I thought he did all of the work and she nearly drops him anyway. Yeah, she shouldn't have been doing these moves to men.
She is well over, I have to say. Like, the crowd don't seem to notice this.
The crowd love her.
Yeah. But I don't know how it's painfully obvious. But
in all fairness, you've got JR and King going, "She's so beautiful, she's so amazing, she's so athletic, she's everything, she's perfect," every week. That shit works, like, you know? She also did the worst punches maybe ever. It's either her or your one from Jenna Maraska. They were awful.
Oh yeah, I just wrote it. Holy shit, we found someone with worse punches than Sonny / Charmel in that match from Thunder.
Nice.
It's like, instead of punching with both hands, she places one hand on the head and the other one is an open hand slap to about a foot above your one's head.
It's so bad.
It was killing kayfabe right there. So we get to the finish. A terrible wrestler, obviously. Sable performs a TKO, landing on her knee and then falls over. But she gets the win in 4:49. Afterwards, Jackie gets on the ref's shoulders, straddles it, so she's in like an electric chair position, and Sable rips off her top. Holy shit, we get to see her tits.
No, I didn't. Mine was blurred.
Mine was blurred as well. I was happy enough with that, though.
WWE Network?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, I got the DVD version.
Yeah.
Splice.
Nice.
But of all the ones that you'd want to get their tits out, she'd be very low.
Yes, because they're big and fake.
Yeah, like, and she's not an attractive woman, you know.
I like her, but she's very womanly as opposed to girly, you know.
Yeah.
You know, taking her fair share of sausage at this point. Sable would go on to get pounded by Brock Lesnar, literally. And Christian would become an internet favourite and finally lifted a world title in 2011. Get fucking in.
I have that. It's like I knew it.
It's Ken Shamrock versus Steve Blackman. It's the Intercontinental Champion and world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock, accompanied by Chickabanana. Chickabanana. The big boss man, as they're both in the corporation, versus my boy, Steve Blackman.
All three songs in this match were awesome.
And it don't look good for this man.
Did you see Blackman's Titantron?
It was just him doing like pya.
Steve.
Then it was like
martial artist.
He's just explaining what who he is and why he's here.
Yes. <Kicks. laughs> Cheese.
Pajama pants.
Beard. You can talk so many words about this man without having any about his actual character, because he doesn't fucking have one.
No.
Sticks. JR immediately says, both of these men, submission specialists. No, they're fucking not. Steve Blackman is a fucking striker. Mm. Out and out striker. He's no submissions at all.
Did he ever pull one out? Sorry. Jay, tell us why you like Blackman.
He's awesome in every way.
Namely?
A, he's great.
Right.
And B, well, I don't need a B because the A was so great.
There you go. You can't even argue with that.
I think he's cool. He's a white ninja. I was going to say Mortal Kombat 3 Sub-Zero. His complete lack of charisma means boundless charisma. Just went so far down zero, it's a 10. Mm.
I thought he looked awesome. And he, when he was swinging the sticks, it was pretty good.
He loved being hardcore. He had a bag with his hardcore tricks in it.
That's right.
That was pretty sweet.
He didn't have it yet, though, did he?
No, it's like 2000.
Like kayfabe, or did he bring it on the plane?
No, you'd have to
check it on.
Check in,
you have to check it on.
Just check in. Sticks and stuff.
Beard. I also liked his wrestling as well. It's very different than everyone else.
Mm.
Looks like a really cool dude.
You see, like, Jay had his boys, you know? Test. Blackman.
D-Lo as well. But
yeah,
but then he spurned us then. Here.
Yeah.
So he can fuck off.
Yeah. Like. Showed us to our seats then.
Yeah. Heidenreich.
Heidenreich, naturally. Yeah. Can you imagine how terrible that stable would be?
Oh, God.
Jay's
Test
boys.
Steve Blackman and Heidenreich.
Wacka kapwam pwam.
So, Steve, your boys, Virgil.
Voyagel.
Marty.
Marty.
Carlito, I know, it sounds silly now, but no, back in the day,
back in
the day when he started. And Albert.
Albert's actually not a bad wrestler.
Yeah.
He's not a bad wrestler.
He was for almost all of his career. Like, I know he got a strong push, IC champion.
And then he went to Tokyo and actually learned how to wrestle.
He did get much better.
Yeah.
I always quite liked his wrestling. As a big man, I thought he could move.
Mm. Steve, tell me about Aldo Montoya.
There's not much to tell.
He's a man.
He wore a nappy on his head, and he had like he wore a nappy on his bum as well. It was quite puffy.
Him and Christian,
yeah. Oh, the puffy bums, yeah. And then the
hemorrhoid seat, yeah.
Yeah, the hemorrhoid seat,
the Pilco pump pant.
Oh yes, well done, very nice. Nappy head. I quite liked it, like I along the lines of Thurman Sparky Plug, that you know.
Big Thurman fan, yeah.
I actually was a big Thurman fan. That's no lie. That's unfortunately, I was.
There were dangerous times in those early '90s, man.
Like,
What about Danny Davis? Did you like him?
No.
That's Shane Sewell.
Shane Sewell, I liked him.
Do you remember that?
I was loving him.
Fucking love Shane Sewell. It was amazing.
So your stable, Steve.
I wonder who
Virgil, Marty, Bob Holly, Aldo Montoya, Shane Sewell,
and
Albert.
Or what's Albert? What was he called in his latter days?
Lord Tensai?
Tensai. I think we've got two fine jobber stables, Jay. And Steve.
My boys are actually relatively talented. Like,
you're not allowed to have talented guys in the stables.
Right, okay. There was always Matt Hardy and Christian. They were always my two favourite undercarders.
Christian is almost getting too
I know. Like, he's too fucking good to be a boy. Like,
Triple H.
He can't be one of your boys.
Okay, attitude.
I always liked Marty more than Sean.
Yeah. You can't. He's in my stable.
Yeah.
Get your own. Lose yours.
Get your own. Lose.
Actually, I always thought Mike Knox wasn't a bad wrestler. 10:15, like.
I remember he used to do that.
What was the deal with him, like, when he was going out with Kelly Kelly, who's, because he's, what, 35 or something, she's 19, and having none of him?
Brilliant. Got a splicey.
That's
very good. O'clock.
I actually like Chavo. I think Chavo's a good old wrestler. Solid hand.
Funly and Regal.
There you go. Whopper stable. It's solid. Both of you. Are you mad? Matt Hardy, Christian, Funly, Regal, and fucking quarter to ten.
Quarter past ten.
No contest too.
Brilliant. Oh, I forgot my boy Rikishi.
The quiche. The crown jewel.
Yeah.
I forgot, of course. Rubbish, garbage, and Luger. We forgot.
Holy shit.
The our crown jewel.
Yeah. Rubbish, Ronnie, garbage.
Yeah, of course. Oh my god.
And I'll be your hero. Excellent. Well, we didn't want to talk about this match. Did you know Steve Blackman was actually in the WWF in 1988 as a jobber and was being considered as a main roster guy? But when he was in South Africa, he contracted malaria and dysentery and was bedridden for the next 2 years.
Oh, shit.
And so when he got better, he had lost all of his muscle mass. So he spent the next 4 years building himself up again. So when he was ready again, it was kind of 96, 97, he gave his mate Owen Hart and Brian Pillman a bell to get him a goosey in WWF. And yeah, he came in towards the end of 97. He saved Vader from a beatdown from the Hart Foundation.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done, Jim.
Well,
he knows his boys.
He does. He most certainly does.
I thought they were actually chanting Steve Blackman, Steve, but they're not. They were chanting You Fat Bastard at Bossman. Much like every other singles match, we get a sequence of moves for a few minutes before it's a rest hold and let's work out the next move until the next rest hold. And let's work out the next few moves. Shamrock has an endless front face lock. And
oh, God. You brought back the memories, Jay.
And follows up with a perfect plex. Earl's on autopilot as he counts the pin, even though Blackman's shoulder is way up. JR chastises him over. Good. Blackman baseball slides the boss man, who hits Steve's ankle with his baton, and Shamrock capitalises with an ankle lock and tap out victory at 6:51.
And what happens after the match? A fucking Blackman gets battered again. Just to rub it in. You're double loser.
Oh, that's better than getting his heat back.
That's true. Did you notice that Shamrock just flat out cannot sell at this point? He sells everything, be it a suplex or a strike, like death. This is Linda McMahon levels of selling. Just punch, dead. Not moving for 15 seconds until you pick me up and then I'm back to life. And fucking Blackman bumped like a... Blackman bumped like an absolute boss for Shamrock. The amount of suplexes he hit him, ridiculous. Weird aside, I googled Shamrock thinking that Ken Shamrock would be pretty tied up. No. Did you know that there's a Marvel superhero called Shamrock?
Is he Irish by any chance?
She's from Dunshaughlin.
Fuck off.
And do you know what her superpower is?
She can take needle drugs at an increased rate.
I've built up an incredible tolerance to opiates over the years. She makes a Whopper stew. Her superpower is that she's lucky. And eventually her luck ran out. She broke her leg cleaning her house. So she became an alcoholic. Swear to fucking Jesus.
That's amazing. That's actually, I'm interested in this. Yeah,
this is too funny to even be offensive. Like, it's fucking amazing. I want this gimmick. She's pretty fucking hot though. She was Rogue with a big Shamrock look.
And these days she's in NXT, right?
Oh, it's time, is it?
Yes.
Fuck.
Steve, Becky Lynch, a.k.a. Rebecca Knox.
A.k.a. Rebecca Quinn. Absolutely depressing. I've known Becky since she was like 12 or something. And it's been her dream her entire life to wrestle. And I remember I used to hang around with her years ago. And people used to laugh at her whenever she'd talk about wrestling. She fucking made it. She was out for like 3 or 4 years and she got a bad knock to the head. She finally fucking made it back, got her dream, got signed by the Fed, made her debut, and she comes out and she does a fucking jig. Are you having a laugh? And fucking Irish dancing. Right. I'm not a big fan of dancing as it is. You know, it's fun. If people want to dance, it's great. But Irish dancing is the most unattractive, unsexy thing in the world. How about we'll take something that can be really sexy and, you know, if a person moves in the right way. No. You're going to keep your fucking back like a fucking ironing board. You're going to keep your hands by your side like a fucking gorilla. And you're going to move your legs and go... I love Becky. She's an absolute sweetheart, but... I was mortified for Scarlett Morta. It's up there with the worst debuts I've ever seen. I feel terrible for her. What did you lads think of it?
I think you said it all. But she's actually quite a talented wrestler, though.
She's a pretty good wrestler. She did like a really good fucking nip up and a good finish. And she's a good athlete. But the fucking Finley five poles and the unsexy fucking board dance and it's off. It's gotta go. Or she's going to die a death in WWE and she's going to be sent packing home soon.
Don't Americans love that shit? Like that stereotype of Ireland. Aren't they all over it? Like imagine Vince laughing, rolling on the ground about it, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, what else are they gonna do now? Like, she gonna come out with black eyes? Like, me husband battered me. He had a couple of drinks. And I gave him a bit of lip. Like,
what else could she do? She could start. She could get like a packet of Barry's tea and try. Because she did. Oh no! They fucking give her.
Spuds.
She'd be a potato man.
Spuds. Yeah.
That was a great aside, Steve. I enjoyed that. That was a long bout of giving it. A very Irish thing to do. And with that, it's time for the
Oddbreak Questionarium.
What an awesome debut for Becky Lynch.
I have an Oddbreak Questionarium.
Uh-huh.
At home. It's a legitimate question. You know the way Paul Bearer was poured into a manhole? Why are manhole covers round?
Triple
Triple H Hunter Hearst Helmsley knows how to take care of business. Stridex Triple Action Pads know how to take care of your skin. And now there's two great offers from Stridex. Save 70 cents on specially marked boxes of maximum strength, regular, and sensitive skin pads. Plus, get this free Triple H poster with the purchase of any Stridex pad product. Just mail your name and address, a Stridex box top, and receipt to the address shown. Supplies are limited, so act now. Triple clean your skin with Stridex medicated pads.
So you can deal with tougher things.
So the question for the ad break questionnaire is, why are manhole covers round?
The answer is... because when you lift them out, they cannot fall in.
Yeah, very good. I was mentally doing it, trying to push it in. trying to push it in a man's hole.
If anyone got that, post a comment to say you got it without looking on the internet.
Kudos to you, sir.
Madam. If you get a tattoo of a manhole, we will do any show you want.
And anything you want.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
We're back. Match number 7 is Jeff Jarrett versus...
Yay.
Triple H.
Yeah. Also, 10 out of 10, 5-star. Dave Meltzer loved this.
Ain't he great? It's Jeff Jarrett with trophy business associate Deborah, who has kind of some terrible hair going on.
Yeah.
Some kind of something about Mary hair thing going on. Steve, what bar is Jeff Jarrett?
Well, Jay, let me tell you. Jeff Jarrett... is not a bar. He is wearing a lovely silver, black and red pair of trunks. Therefore, he's a can of Diet Coke.
Sorry, mate. That's the fucking worst vile scum ever.
Yeah, I know, it's horrific.
It's horrible.
It's like you find like a non-alcoholic vodka.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's very watery. It's just this.
Yeah, it's not nice at all, look.
His opponent is the Feast DX leader, Triple H. Pre-cunt. Accompanied by China, wearing a leather getup and chaps.
Chaps.
China, the 9th wonder of the world. Isn't it great how the 8th wonder world and the 9th are both wrestlers?
Yeah.
Who's the 8th?
Andre.
Oh, sorry.
At this point, she had already gotten work done. She actually looked all right.
See, that's the problem, is that you don't stop. It's like, oh, I got a little bit done. I look great. What if I get 6 more surgeries?
Like, if
I look super great.
Exactly. Like, if she just had left it at this, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so she got her cheeks done, she got her nose done, got
jaw
her chin
shaved.
Done. Yeah. And what's with the comedy fake breasts as well? She would have been, what, B's? Double A's? And she's fucking
Bad.
Triple H's.
Boom.
Well done, Jay.
Triple H took the reins off Shawn after WrestleMania 14, and he turned DX into a face group, adding the New Age Outlaws and X-Pac the day after WrestleMania. He had to get knee surgery shortly after SummerSlam and was only back recently at this stage. Like, he didn't even do Survivor Series. JR accuses Deborah and Jarrett of having hanky-panky, and Lawler doesn't let him away with that. He's like, it's hanky-panky, JR, is it?
But why does JR feel the need to point it out? So what?
It's scandal. Let's talk about it. He's doing a Gary Lineker.
Oh, he's doing a Gary
Lineker. Turn it into scandal.
But is he really having panky panky? But is he really?
Steve, this must be your dream match.
Oh. It's fucking up there. Love Jeff Jarrett. Now, I think we've gotten a bit of guff for our love of Jeff Jarrett, right?
You're all wrong, by the way.
Yes.
Did we?
Now, I don't think Jeff Jarrett is a big enough star to have ever have carried the Fed. However, I do think he's absolutely good enough to be in or around the main event or main event a lower company. I think he's a tremendous wrestler. He's a good, solid hand. He doesn't ever have a bad match, and he's capable of having great matches with good wrestlers and dragging bad wrestlers to decent matches. And he's a fantastic promo.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people don't love Jeff Jarrett. He's tremendous.
And icing on the cake, he's a lovely guy.
Oh, he's a fantastic guy. And he beat all of our boys, but he's far too successful.
Yes.
Yeah. Steve, do you want to call this match?
Yes. I'll read my first line. It's, yes, fucking Jarrett. Boo Deborah. Thunder and China come out getting absolutely massive pop. Like, DX are fucking well over at the minute. I think Thunder looked pretty small at this point. He wasn't quite as 99-2000 fucking beast mode. Like,
this is actually bigger than he was in 97. Like, he got really big, like, mid-98.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I loved the opening of this match. Lots of chain wrestling, hold, counter. I thought both guys looked fucking great. And then it turned into a decent back and forth brawl with Jeff Jarrett taking most of the heat after a lovely armbar takedown. Next spot, we get a long headlock. Triple H eventually makes his comeback with a suplex, then a high knee and an atomic drop. That overall spot looked really good. Hunter goes for the pedigree, but it is reversed. A new reversal. That is not the kick punch. It is the simple pull down my hands and simply step backwards.
The reality.
The reality. However, Triple H reverses the reversal. Bwah! An inception moment. Jarrett backs up and then goes to do the slingshot move. But he kind of botches it, and rather than sell a badly done move, Hunter is like, I fucking know what you're doing. I thought it was a pretty cool spot. And Deborah tries to interfere, and again, clever Hunter sees right through it, because you see, he's the smartest man in wrestling. And then China comes in, stops Jarrett from using the chair. Pedigree by Hunter for the win. 5 stars.
It was a 50-50 back and forth. You know, they're very much the throw to the ropes and then do a move and then into a headlock and then you can plan the next few moves.
Yeah.
That was my entire notes. I didn't enjoy it at all.
Over here, another match, no clean fucking finish. Interference again. D'Lo.
I have to say, did you see Jarrett's Kane level selling of the pedigree? She lands on his knee.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
However, however, who's going to be wrestling when he's in his 60s and not crocked? Him and Kane. That's
who. Can't wait for that.
WrestleMania 47. Fucking Jarrett Kane. 5 stars, of course.
Mr. McMahon plans some surprises in tonight's Fatal 4-Way match.
No, it doesn't make any difference what kind of surprise he's got. Hell, I didn't come all the way to England just for the hell of it. Bottom line is, three people can get their ass whipped, and I might throw his in there on top of it just to boot.
Austin does his best Boomhauer impression.
Sir, do you know anything about this?
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, doing one of them snap punts last night, man, with them stick and the bag and them whack whack, man. He'd go woo-loo, talking about that big mistake, y'all, right there in that cooler.
This is probably the worst Austin promo I've ever heard. Fuck you, Britain. I'm telling you, it was the entire reason for this show.
I am in the heart of all Europe. This is all right. There's Buckingham Palace. I told the Queen we need to straighten that damn circle thing out, make a damn straight road. But anyway, hey, I wonder if she's in.
Throw to a foe, I'm a European vignette with D'Lo checking out London to the British Bulldogs theme. D'Lo was coming off his European title gimmick where he'd hail from different countries each week. It was pretty cool. Although Al Snow went full throttle with the idea, actually dressing as the country stereotype.
I think this is the best thing D'Lo's ever done, and it's the best thing on this pay-per-view.
This vignette?
Yeah. And we got to see a very young Jay Hunter at the end of this vignette. He's the guy that recognised D'Lo.
That Don't mind him. He's mildly cretinous.
That's hilarious.
Some geezer tries to get Dilo into his suspicious non-taxi car.
The get a date of your banger, mate. Dilo Brown looked like he had so much fun making this little promo package, and I think that's why I actually liked it, because he just looked like he was having the crack. And also, he called Big Ben Big D, and then a big smile.
He loves the Big D, doesn't he?
Big Black Bully D.
Yeah, Brown is overjoyed when some lad recognises him.
He marked out to someone marking out to him. I love it. It's so fucking carny.
That's fucking rich, though.
It's awesome. No, like, it's fucking awesome.
When we saw him in TNA recognise him, he got all stroppy about it.
That's right, yeah. And we hadn't even started the show by then, so it wasn't like we were blaming him for booking decisions that he wasn't even in the company for.
Just show us to our seats without the sack.
Your ass better call somebody.
Match number 8. It's the New Age Outlaws versus D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry. So it's the tag team champions of the world, Road Dogg, Jesse James, and Badass Billy Gunn, when their shtick was still fresh.
Oh my god, their shtick was in full swing. That's what I have here. It really was. The fans loved it.
They loved the shtick.
Fuck. Words don't sound the same on paper when they come out of a mouth.
We get an attitude era sign. Some mayor has a I should have sucked it sign for DX. You wouldn't be grinning if you saw it. The Outlaws were on autopilot as their leader Triple H was out with a knee injury, so they just kind of whatever. Mark Henry, though, the world's strongest man, went on a date with China. She brought her mate Sammy with her to some Raw and left him alone. And Mark ended up trying to bang her. But guess what? It's a man, baby.
Oh, sweet Jesus!
What's
you got a penis?
What's wrong?
What? Penis!
They got some Sammy, baby.
And they split up over that, and now they're feuding.
Oh, yeah.
D'Lo and Mark were both in the Nation of Domination, but even though the group disbanded over the summer, the two remained mates, and they tagged together as well.
JR brings it up again that Mark Henry was part of the Olympic team in 96. Like, he didn't win anything. He didn't. I don't think he did well.
He pooed it. He was favourite.
Was
for,
he, yeah?
For gold, and he 20-something it.
But it's nothing to be proud of, him finishing
just
near bottom in a competition.
Merely being there is not something you should be fucking spouting out for the rest of your career.
Exactly. Like he's basically a loser. No offense to the guy, you know? Like,
loser!
That's what I have here.
Loser!
Are you done?
Loser!
No, say something. Go ahead. Say something.
Are you done?
Go ahead. I won't talk, I promise. Go ahead.
Are you done?
Yes!
Tons of time spent regrouping on the outside, just wasting time. Billy asked the crowd if he should go do a test of strength by doing the raise the roof gesture. I think that was big in 97. Edge used
Edge.
Raise the roof.
That's right.
This match is the fucking pits. Thank God Billy hits a pile driver on D'Lo and gets the win in 12:34. No hot tag, no anything, just a flat finish coming off a double 10 count rest for both guys. It was just, fuck it, that's enough time, let's go.
Yeah. How in the name of Sweet Jehovah did Road Dogg get away with wearing a t-shirt for his entire career and not be ridiculed like we do with
Sting.
Fucking Sting and Tommy Dreamer.
Flair.
Flair in his 60s is not that bad. But How?
Billy Gunn was supposed to be the wrestler of this team and he was the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
So he kind of got away with it. He clearly wasn't in shape, but he didn't need to be. It was the Attitude Era, you know?
Yeah, because Attitude Era, like, they had gotten past the steroid trial, so everyone was jacked.
Like, yeah, like, but he never was. Got away lightly with, you know, with how he actually
Maybe he's just, like, a lovely guy and so everyone lets him away with it. Mm.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking? The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says.
Backstage, the corporate champion, The Rock, wearing his second t-shirt, the Brom Bull logo. I know because his first t-shirt was when he was in t-shirt.
T-shirt.
It was just a big R. So it was very popular with Roberts and
a couple of Robins.
Ronan.
Rocky runs through other people's catchphrases before giving his own. It was entertaining, but he actually did it on Raw quite recently before that, so who cares? You already
know. It's not entertaining. It's quite literally, there's nothing original about it, but it's lazy in my opinion.
I agree with you that what he said was nothing, you know, you're just taking other people's lines, but he has so much personality. Really like this promo.
Like, JR was talking about how The Rock knew ahead of time that it was going to be X-Pac, and he said, he got an email.
I don't know, got them on computers these days.
Computer. Amazing.
To be the man, woo, you got to... I am the best there is, the best... Oh, that's definitely not it. This is it. The most electrifying line in sports entertainment today. If you smell a little, ow, what The Rock is cooking.
Vignette documenting The Rock's heel turn at Survivor Series 98. You'd see the same thing at Rock Bottom and Royal Rumble. And they only have like three songs.
It was a
they
really, underneath. Really good promo package though.
Did you think so? I thought it was not a great one. The music is...
Beep, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop.
Isn't it? It's this jazzy kind of...
That's Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Beep, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop.
So it's time for the WWF Championship match. So we get a WWF Championship match. It's The Rock versus X-Pac because fuck you.
Britain.
Yeah. Who gives a shit about a lowly mid-carder taking on the world champion? Yeah, there's no title change because you're in England and you don't do title changes, but world title changes. But it's a fucking nobody.
Here
it's fucking Mossy versus The Rock.
That's fucking hilarious.
Steve, what bar is Mossy?
Ah. X-Pac is a different bar than normal. He's not wearing his green and white shite. Green and black, was it?
Green and black.
He's now wearing red, black and white. So, keeping with something I said earlier, X-Pac is a can of Coke Zero.
Oh, yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Jay does like Coke Zero.
Mm, yeah.
I very much like the taste. It's just not carbonated enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I love the taste.
I think Coke Zero tastes fine, but if I was to drink of a can of Coke Zero, I would still crave a can of Coke.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What was more of a sure thing? The Rock retaining his title here or Lesnar retaining against Bob Holly?
That's in I think the I surest have to say
Lesnar, yeah.
That's so insulting for Bob Holly.
Come on, sure Bob fucking Holly, like...
Oh my god. Fucking butt plug, Holly. Ooh, give you a bit of background. Commissioner Smackbag Shawn Michaels' heel turn on X-Pac, smashing him with a steel chair and joining Vince's corporation. You can see The Rock and Shawn and Vince doing the DX chops. It's just, Virgil and crush NWO, you know?
Bro.
Like, this is bollocks, and he'd leave and he'd be faced 2 months later, you know? So what a great run. Holy no heat, Batman. The crowd are silent for Rock and Xbox opening exchanges. I was wondering what was happening, because I could just hear the mat. You know, when they're running, you can hear them, and you should never be able to hear that.
Keep churning away and staying on the offensive. We could easily have a new champion here tonight. Watch it. Wow, Ace quickens here. And oh yes, that's to Xbox's advantage. Look out! Another arm drag right into the arm bar.
Holy shit.
But Xbox seemed to get a pop when he came out.
I actually thought he was kind of over.
I enjoyed the silence they got, I have to say. Like, you shouldn't be ever putting this match on. And you did, and that's what you get for it.
I also thought it was here, JR did a great job of just putting him over. Saying, you know, oh, he's a chance of winning the belt. He is the European champion. It means he is, like, the fifth best wrestler in the company. But yeah, JR actually did a really, really good job of, like, putting him over and just, you know, saying, you know, if he keeps up the pace and he can fly around the ring, then the Rock doesn't even have a chance then, you know. Great
doesn't
job.
Stand a chance. It's fence <fun. laughs>
We get an Attitude Era spelling sign, spelling Gebroni. Yeah. The Rock attempts to blow the match off, but Triple H and China ward him back to ringside. Shoot-wise, Rock must be pissed off at the lack of crowd reaction. Like, he's the world champion and he's just dead silence. The crowd start amusing themselves with horns and England chants. Interesting spot. Rock drinks JR's Club Orange, who exclaims, "Rock stole my beverage!" It's like, they're not your sponsors.
He just drank my beverage.
Yes, a real European tour / house show mentality. Run the ropes opening minute, and then we'll just headlock and we'll work it out in the ring. So Rock and Pac run the ropes and headlock and work out moves until the next headlock.
And a lot of headlocks on this
match. Fucking hell, that's... We get a low blow, a corporate elbow with crotch chops, but then Rock's rock bottom is stopped by China's low blow.
JR was struggling with the word low blow. This is where I was thinking, is he okay?
Oh, finally, the crowd actually get into it. I thought it was really cool when the fans stomped their feet. You could actually see the camera wobble for a bit. But then the camera wobbles without any noise. Oh,
yeah.
Killing kayfabe. Rock takes out Hebner, then X-Pac, but gets KO'd with X-Pac's European title for a near fall. Hebner revives, lickety-split, mind you, and calls for a DQ on Hemsley. The sore loser faces Clear House and celebrate despite Rock retaining his belt, winning by DQ in 12:34. What'd you think? Sounds like a Triple H promo.
I actually liked most of this match. I hated the fucking ending, though. Like, X-Pac is able to lose clean. It's fucking fine. He's not going on to challenge for the world title next week. He's the European champion, so he's only like the fifth best in the company. It's grand to have him lose. Sure, he can beat fucking D'Lo next week. It's a shame, because it kind of ruined the match. And just once again, JR was amazing in this match. I also thought that this was the only match on this card to actually have a story and a plot of the big guy battering the little guy would make the odd comeback and then got cut off. And I thought by the end the fans were, I won't say like really up for X-Pac, but they were definitely better than the opening non-pop. Like,
I actually think they did a decent job of suspending the disbelief that X-Pac might possibly potentially think about maybe winning. You know, any self-respecting fan isn't going to think, but you know, it was nice to see them trying at least.
Yep, what you said.
Yeah, but no, I don't think anyone in the history of wrestling has looked better with a world title than The Rock.
Oh, he looks amazing. Yeah, just incredible. Actually, Brock with the your belt, the Undisputed belt, looks incredible with it.
Yeah.
Who would look best with the Winged Eagle?
I can only see Hogan.
I think of Brett whenever I think of that belt, yeah.
You know who looks great? Well, actually, Damian Sandow. They did like pictures of current wrestlers with old school belts, and Sandow had the winged eagle, and I was like, holy shit, looks great. Not when he's dressed up
that
as...
That poor guy.
Abraham
really
Lincoln.
Talented. Goldberg with the WCW title looked like a badass as well.
Very good. And in fairness, Triple H looks pretty good with the...
All the belts.
With the spinner belts.
All the belts.
Time for your main event. Mean Gene, play us in. It's your main event of the evening. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Undertaker versus Kane versus Mankind, aka Mick Foley, with, and judging by this photo, the happiest man on earth, special referee Big Boss Man. Big stupid fucking grin on him.
Yeah. It didn't look like him at all, actually.
It's a fatal four-way match. No DQ, no countout, aka Schmoz all you want. Huge time wasting as the corporation stacks the deck. Deck?
Alright! Fucking scouse!
The corporation stacks the deck against Austin with separate entrances and unique introductions for Shane O'Mac, the ring announcer, Pat Patterson, the timekeeper, Jerry Briscoe, special referee, not boss man, fuck you, Britain.
I think this entire segment is. Another fuck you, Britain.
Vince McMahon, guest commentator, the corporate enforcer, the big boss man, and Vinnie Jones, a face enforcer, I guess. Jones goes nose to nose with the boss man and pushes him out of the ring. And in an awesome spot, Briscoe whips out a red card and ejects Vinnie Jones.
I kind of marked out to that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's nice.
That was actually brilliant. Yeah. We get more entrances. Foley, then Kane. Then Taker, who comes out with Bearer and his fucking incredible song.
Oh, so good.
You can almost sit through the entrance.
Just splicey that and leave in the audio. It's so good.
Oh! Oh! The Phenom is about to arrive! The conscience of the WWF is upon us!
Demon.
He is evil. So deadly evil.
My God, he's come to take some souls tonight. I just hope the soul that he takes is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I hope he takes that soul down to the depths of hell.
If anybody can do it, the Undertaker can. Continue to fight above us in the ring, and the Undertaker is about to join them. And we know there's no love lost between the Undertaker and his brother, Kane, or the Undertaker and Mankind.
If Kane and Mankind had any sense at all, they'd be trying to form some sort of allies or teams against the Undertaker. Oh, now they stop. The Undertaker has the power.
Yes. Oh! And now Kane thrown over the top! Oh, here he comes!
And finally, Stone Cold enters. Match graphic to Austin entering. How long?
I'm gonna say 17 minutes.
I'd say 11.
16 minutes.
Wowzers! Holy shiza.
JR touts this as the first ever Fatal 4-Way on Sky Box Office.
Oh my God!
Mark it down! I'm prepared to mix it up. And we actually get Vince McMahon, special guest commentator. So he actually commentates for a bit. And
he doesn't do it.
I know.
Heel Vince commentary is fine.
He's still so fake, though.
I know.
It's sad because it's his character as opposed to play-by-play Vince showing up. But he does call a few spots. He kind of forgets it. And he was actually like, oh, come on, get him, Mick. Get him, Foley. And it's, oh, I hate you, though. he just forgets you're supposed to be at odds. Like, so this match is just a big schmoz. A long, long brawl. Steve, take us through it.
The first line I have here, literally no moves have been done yet. Except for lariats and punches. What the fuck? Oh, wait. Austin just hit his Tez press. Yay.
But I hate that move. Hate it.
I like it.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
It's very... Maybe it's because Divas have taken it now.
Yeah.
But I really hate the move. But you know who has it now?
Who?
Eva Marie.
Does she do the fucking slippity slaps? Oh, yes.
Winner.
But like I put it up there with a bulldog and an atomic drop are sloppy moves. They never look tidy. They're either missed or they're...
The bulldog's well dodgy.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It always looks shit.
Yeah. There was an awesome fucking spot on the outside where Taker grabbed the cable and choked Foley, and then Kane came up behind Taker and choked Taker, and then Austin came up behind Kane and choked Kane. As I absolutely loved that spot. It's tremendous.
Human centipede.
It's like kayfabe smashing, but it looks great, you know? Back to brawling on the outside, punches, kicks, boring. I have heard that Vince sounds so fucking fake on commentary.
Steve?
Oh my god! Pitch perfect. Austin and Foley clear house back in the ring. Foley offers Austin his hand. Austin gives him the fingers, and then
does he agree and they get married?
I don't know. Austin says no, gives him the finger, and Foley backs out of both of the stunners and gets on the mandible cock. Taker and Kane then double team Austin. Foley tries to join in and everyone turns on him, which I thought was great. He was being the goody and then he goes over and he's like, hey, Kane Taker, I'm a baddie as well, I'll batter Austin. And they're like, fuck you, absolutely batter Foley.
Did you like Kane's monstrously frizzy hair? It's like volume up to 11. Like.
VO5 plus VO5 equals fucking Kane.
it's a big floor mat.
It is. Foley gets a chair and takes out Kane. Then Taker grabs a chair and wallops Foley. And then Austin grabs a chair and absolutely batters Taker. Then goes for a pin, but Briscoe won't count.
Did you like his... I'm not going to count the fall spots with Austin? Because the first one he does, he says, oh, my knees popped or something.
That's right.
But Kane actually broke the fall immediately, so you done the spot for nothing and it gets no heat. Later on, he does the, hey, what time is it, to Patterson instead of Kane. I thought that was quite funny.
I love, the Stooges were so great. Yeah.
And they were around for, what, 2-3 years maybe?
Good while, yeah.
And they were always entertaining, yeah.
When Austin is pinning, Briscoe is going to do the fall and he counts one and then he like checks the shoulders and is like, nah, it's up. It's quite funny.
It's really great shit. Like, I love that type of playing up on fucking wrestling tropes and stuff like that. It's awesome. Awesome stuff. Earl Hebner runs out, but Taker only gets a two count. Austin reverses Kane's attempt at a tombstone, hits a stunner for the win. Then Austin goes mental, stuns Briscoe, boss man, which is after an absolutely woeful kick by Vinnie Jones. Then Austin and Vinnie celebrate with beer, but big cunt face, Vinnie doesn't even drink it. The end.
Ooh, Japanese Stella Artois.
Bat my fucking bird.
What was the reason for this match? I mean, why, like, JR... I know he's a pro and, you know, fair play to him, but he's going crazy because Austin won. Yeah, what did he win?
Well, he just won the main event of the first ever Fatal 4-Way on Sky Box.
It's gone down in history.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Everyone will remember
it. Austin stunners Kane, gets the pin. Where's Vinnie Jones for the finish? Aren't you supposed to come back out and we'll do his thing, no? You count the fall, no?
Ah, oh, come out and I won't have a beer. Austin should have kicked the shit out of him. The cheek of him.
He could be teetotal.
If you're not going to drink a beer with Austin, don't get booked for the fucking gimmick. Dude. Like, that's your entire gimmick.
Was like Hebner's beer bash, and Austin was there as well.
Yeah. And what did fucking Jones do with the beer?
He walked around with it in his hand, and the camera really didn't pan to him. It was like Austin, and you could see him in the background, and he'd go up on the ropes and just be like, "Hey," and then get back down. And nah. Did you like the match, Steve?
I thought it was an okay Attitude Era main event. Elevated very much by the presence of Austin, because he's just great.
He's tremendous, isn't he?
What do you call the special meter in Street Fighter, where you can do your super move? You have to build it up throughout the...
Ultra.
It's your ultra move?
I think
your ultra bar, is it? I love the spots where everyone suddenly gets like one free ultra bar.
Nice.
And they all do their finishers in rotation. Yeah. That's always fun. Yeah. But this match was just a big schmoz. It's awesome to see Austin and everyone's over, but state of your match, mate.
Yeah.
It's been emotional.
We thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us for the team. I'm Jim Ross. Good night, everybody.
How was the pay-per-view? What do you think?
I think that the fans at the show were happy. I don't think this show was much worse than the average show that was on at that time. I think it was pretty normal, and you're paying to see the stars, and they got to see pretty much all of them. So in that sense, I think that the live crowd would have been happy. If I paid fucking $14.95 for this on box office, no. Would not have been happy at all. The poor Brits got fucking shafted in terms of match quality. I just got through some of the things I liked and didn't like. The crowd were tremendous. Jarrett versus Hunter, 5-star. I enjoyed Rock's promos. I enjoyed Rock versus X-Pac. And that was pretty much it. And I hated a lot. The Headbangers, LOD 2000. Vince's corporate segments were horrific. Tiger Ali Singh, Vinny Cuntface, No Drear Binking Jones, Sable, Deborah, No Fucking Clean Wins, people who lost getting their heat back, no one getting over, just the general booking and the match quality. That's a big list of bad. But despite all that, I didn't hate the show. I still watched this in one watch, and I found it very easy to watch.
Yeah, it wasn't particularly good, but it was a bit of fun. Nice to see all these wrestlers in their prime, no less. Certainly wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, I also thought it was a very easy watch. Although about halfway through it started to drag as the wrestlers were on autopilot. They're all having a nice holiday. So they're all kind of throwaway matches that they put together at the last minute. It's worth noting the greatness of the Attitude Era was the weekly show. The last thing people cared about was the work rate. It's all about characters, promos, storylines, signature moves. And, tits are always nice. I wouldn't recommend this at all. You're not missing anything. Apart from the tits, you're not missing anything.
I'd love to see Lita's tits on this show. I would have made the show...
Lita? Where's Lita?
No, so I would have loved to have seen Lita's breasts
in general.
On the show. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a bit left field.
They're tremendous.
Okay.
I feel like it would have upped the overall quality of the show.
Ooh, so how did Capital Carnage do? There is no official release of the number of buys this pay-per-view did, but it's believed to be about 100,000 buys and double that of their last UK pay-per-view, 97's One Night Only. So quite a rousing
success. Could Yanks buy this?
No, or UK only.
100,000 Brits bought this?
Yeah.
Plus the 10,000 that were there?
Hmm. So it was success enough for WWF to have two UK only pay-per-views per year from then on until 2003. And after that, instead of having pay-per-views, they'd have two European tours a year and tape Raw and SmackDown there instead.
I definitely prefer the current way of doing it.
I'd love a pay-per-view. It'd be great.
You'd get this, and then you'd be furious.
not if they showed it in America. If they had SummerSlam in a proper...
Like a real one, yeah. And not just, oh, Ireland-only pay-per-view, Ireland, Becky Lynch.
It's county combat. So you might ask, why don't WWE do a proper UK pay-per-view, considering their highest ever attendance was in the UK, Wembley Stadium, SummerSlam 92? It's the time difference. Although TV ratings don't show a difference between live and taped Raws, WWE believe that non-live pay-per-views would kill their buys, especially with internet spoilers.
Do they have any proof of this, or is this just what they feel?
That's their belief on it, although TV tapings say the opposite.
Yeah.
That it's fine. But since WWE are now a WWE network-centered company, we got your money for 6 months, you're locked in, they might consider it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And with that, let's take it to the wrestling is
here
segment.
Awesome.
Freon tanks are still out there, just inside the control room, above the observation deck.
You got the schematics for the lightning rod?
Yeah. The Twisters are expecting to meet in about 8 minutes. What's your plan?
Well, we can't equalize the pressure with a bomb. It's too dangerous, and the Twisters are too cold, right?
Right.
I'll throw the Freon tank into the storm.
We don't have the explosives here to make that happen.
That's why I'm going to use a lightning rod to blow the Freon tank through the building into the storm.
That's crazy. You'll get killed.
Maybe not.
Promise me you won't die on me.
Hey, listen. If you're going to do this, you got to get up there now.
There's a lot of sharks up there still. If you're on the ground, you better be ready.
We'll take care of it.
So did you enjoy that one, lads, anyway?
It was...
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Fucking...
Sorry. So that ends our Brucey bonus episode. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you didn't, send your hate mail to @bruins217. Next up, we'll cover the first episode of ECW on Sci-Fi before finishing our ECW jaunt.
Jesus,
what cunt wrote that? Before finishing our ECW run with December to Dismember. So it's a goodbye from OZ. And V1. And myself, Jay Hunter. And remember, a winner is you.
That should be our outro to this.
Sure, we'll do that.
Can you just get like a picture of Becky and just make her head move around?
Does she watch the show?
I don't know, actually. Probably not.
Alright.
Some people.
I know.
I watched your show.
You know who I am? I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!